Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you're all here with me today. No, that's not new theme music. That's a theme music from one of the other shows on the network. I guess my engineer decided I needed a change for my show. Welcome. I hope you had a chance to catch last week's show with my guest P.D. Newman, a fascinating conversation around the traditions of the Southeast Native Americans in this country and their relationship with ethnogenics and psychedelics. It was really a wonderful interview. Really enjoyed having him on the show. I hope you check it out. The title of that episode was Lost Psychedelic Tradition, so check it out. All right, so this week, guess what? It's just me and you. No guests this week, as is my tradition. I try and keep to doing one show with just the two of us, the beginning of each month. So I'm going to be talking about a recent experience of mine, and I'll get to that, of course, right after my blog post today. And this blog post, I think I'm going to dedicate it to my engineer because she just got some bad news before we started the show. So and this one's for you, JC. And the title of this week's blog post is There is Always a Path Through Our Pain. There are many times in life when we are reminded of our pain, anniversaries, holidays, and reunions, remembering how we lost loved ones or some trauma we experienced. Yet in those memories are always opportunities. Opportunities to find a new perspective or develop gratitude for what we have. The past is behind us, and there's nothing we can do about it. And the future is before us and not yet here. Being present to what we feel, what we are experiencing right now, is all we have. The real question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the pain and the suffering we have experienced in the past? How are we going to move forward? And how can we use it to empower and improve ourselves? Everything is an opportunity to evolve. When we can delve deep into our pain and reimagine it in a way that builds us up, we prosper. Yes, the losses are real, and the hole that losing a loved one creates can be enormous. Yet it is up to us to fill that hole, whether with our regret or with our love. We are still here. Our breath is still with us. There is more we can still do. As we feel our way through our pain, we can find a way to peace. And from peace, we can find a way through to joy. Of course, there are times when it seems like we will never get there. Yet life does not bring us anything that we cannot deal with. We just have to find the right path forward, the right guide to show us the way, or the right practice that supports us in letting go of the pain. All of us have pain within us. The collective trauma of our history is real. And as each of us does our part to heal from that trauma, we support the healing of the collective. We all have to do our part to contribute. And as we find our path through our pain, we make a way for others to find their way through their pain. All is connected. All is interrelated. That includes our pain, our sadness, our joy, and our love. Which do you want to focus on? Which do you want to build up? So, you know, I wrote this post a couple of years ago. It was after we found out that my wife's sister had cancer. And not just that, but we have been working with some clients who had suffered extreme loss. And so I was just kind of reflecting on it. And in discussions through my wife about how do we get through the pain? Because sometimes that pain can feel overwhelming. And what we came to was, you know, the answer is always the same, and that's with love. And that's with feeling our love for the person, the places, the things. To remember the fond memories. To bring the good forward as well. You know, no life is completely 100% in darkness. Sometimes it can feel that way. And that's why sometimes people consider suicide, because they just can't see a way through or a way out. But most of the time, life is a mixture of the pain and sadness, and the joy and the love. And the point of focusing on our love is not to bypass the pain. It's not to disconnect and disassociate from what we're actually feeling in the moment. When there is loss, there is real grief. And we need to be present to that grief. Because stuffing it down does not help us. It does not serve us. It does not serve anyone around us. So we do have to experience that sense of loss, that agony, that pain. But the way to get through it, the way to find the little point of light in all that darkness, is in our love for the person, place, or thing that we're losing. I just spoke to a gentleman yesterday who had to put down his dog, who had been with him for 13 years, and he was incredibly distraught over it. Because he loved that dog so much. And look, it doesn't matter whether it's a dog, a cat, a goldfish, a parent, a grandparent, a child, a sibling, a cousin. A loss is a loss. And that loss does leave a hole in us. But the real question is, what are we going to fill that hole with? Are we going to fill it with all the regret of things we didn't say when they were around? Are we going to fill it with the darkness that that sense of loss brings to us? Or are we going to fill it with the love we feel for that person, place, or thing, that being? Because the only reason why we're in pain over the loss is because we cared about them, because we loved them for so many reasons. Maybe it was their kindness, their guidance, their laughter, their companionship, whatever it was about them that touched us. When we remember that part, we can fill up that hole with our love for them. And look, does this mean that we don't cry, that we're not sad about the loss, that we don't suffer from the loss? No, of course not. Of course we do. Of course we do. We're human beings. We have feelings. And once that energy flows through us, and we feel washed out because we've been in that sense of loss for so long, and we're exhausted from it, that's the time to remember all the good times, to celebrate their life, to use their life as an inspiration for us. And look, this is not to say that, you know, we gloss over the warts and not see the person for the good and the bad as well. But to use the bad as maybe a learning lesson, and to use the good to fill up our hole. And to remember that whoever we lost, they wouldn't want us to stay in our pain, to marinate in our pain. Maybe that loss is meant to show us to truly appreciate who's in our life today, to help us to appreciate that much more what we have right now. Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. For any of us. So what we truly have is this present moment. Is this little slice of time that we're in right here, right now. And how we show up and what we feel. Yes, we need to be authentic. Yes, we need to not lie to ourselves about how we feel. And we can fill up our hearts with the love that we feel. And we can remember that whether they're still with us physically or not.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Sorry about that, but my internet crashed right when I was finishing what I was talking about. I'll try and get it back up, but for now I'm on my phone until I can get my internet back up on the computer, and I'll switch over. So that was my blog post called There Is Always a Path Through Our Pain. And of course, you can always find my blog at my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, or on the station's website, www.talkradio.nyc/blog. Today, thankfully, I don't have a guest today. But today I was going to discuss and talk about my recent trip. Some of you may have noticed that during August, I did a rerun and I pre-recorded an episode because I was away. My wife and I went to China, to Beijing, where her family is, to see her sister. Her sister has had cancer for the last couple of years. And we decided we didn't want to wait any longer. We were originally planning on going there to Beijing to see her in October, but her niece, you know, my wife's sister's daughter said, I'm not sure what kind of condition she's going to be in October. So we decided to push it up and go in August at the last minute. So I spent a good 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks in Beijing. It was quite an interesting experience, and that's why I entitled this episode "Under the Shadow of Dragons," because, you know, China is the land of dragons, and Beijing is its capital, and we're. I thought it would be fun to kind of talk about my experience and the difference, because I haven't been to Beijing in 15 years. You know, before the pandemic and you know, before that time, I had been to Beijing about 3 times. And it was really a very different experience this time. And it was different for a number of reasons. And one of the first reasons being, it was the very first time I've been to Beijing or to China in the summertime. I've only ever been there in the spring or winter. It looks like my internet's coming back up, so I'm going to try and get back. So I'm going to log off my phone. All right. We're back where we're supposed to be. Sorry about that, but, you know, technical stuff, it happens. So as I was saying, it was a very different experience, because the first thing was, this was the summertime. And Beijing is normally known for being a very dry place. It's actually usually very dusty and dry. But for some reason, this summer, it was ungodly humid. It was really hot. It was when we first got there, in the upper 90s. And it was so humid, it felt worse than Miami to me. But the heat was really oppressive. The sun felt really strong. And you could not walk two steps outside without being drenched in sweat. And that created a certain atmosphere for the trip that made it a bit unpleasant to be outside, thankfully. The other thing, and another important thing of what made this trip different was we stayed in her niece's apartment. And her niece has a lovely apartment in the southwest portion of the city. And she was very kind. She actually went and stayed in her mom's house up in the north, and we stayed in her apartment. And so I actually got a chance to live like a local. We went to the local restaurants in her neighborhood, the supermarkets, and we had to take care of a bunch of errands. You know, my wife has a Chinese phone, and so it wasn't working when we first got there. And we went to the cell phone store with her, and then we had to go to the bank, and there were just a lot of little things we were running around, a lot of errands we were running. So I really got a chance to kind of see what is it like to live as a local. And one of the things that surprised me, but isn't really that much of a surprise, was when I was there 15 years ago, there were still a lot of people riding bicycles. And all the streets, and the streets are huge in Beijing. I mean, every block is like a four-lane highway. But there's always an extra lane on the side for bicycles. But this time, those lanes were not filled up with bicycles. They were filled up with electric scooters. It felt like almost everybody who was not in a car was on a scooter. I saw families of four riding on one little scooter. You know, I saw people, you know, collecting, you know, paper waste and styrofoam and stuff, these huge things on the back of their scooter. And there are tons of delivery people in Beijing. Apparently, I would say they've kind of leapfrogged us here in the States, like everything you get through an app on your phone, and they deliver it to you right where you are. And so there are tons and tons and tons of delivery guys constantly delivering food to people's apartments, to where they work. I even saw a woman get a delivery in a food court in a mall, and she took out of this little bag a bubble tea. So she ordered a bubble tea from somewhere, and the guy brought it up to her in this food court. I mean, it was crazy. But everything, meals, clothing, supply, anything you want, there are, I mean, must be thousands of delivery guys across the city out there delivering the stuff within minutes of when you order it. Truly amazing. And the thing that I found so fascinating about all these people on the scooters is they don't really pay attention to the traffic laws. Like lights, especially red lights, they treat them as suggestions. And they're making turns and going this way and that way. And I was just amazed that there weren't more accidents. I mean, I didn't see a single traffic accident while I was there. It was like this chaos swirling around, all around. Yet somehow it happened all in harmony, and everyone kind of knew and was able to go in the flow. So that was a really big change. And that to me really was one of the first indications of how much of a modern city Beijing has become. And it really, especially like when you're living there as a local, it amazed me how few people we actually saw out walking. I mean, yeah, the heat was oppressive, but look, I'm here in New York City, and even on the worst days during the summer, we saw plenty of people out in the parks, on the streets. People are always going one place or another. And considering that Beijing is a city of 12 million plus people, you'd think the streets would be really crowded. And the only place that I felt where there were crowds was the one day we went to the center of town to some stores, and there were tons of tourists and you know, local tourists and foreigners. But that was like the only time I saw a crowd in Beijing. And that really shocked me. And it shocked me for a number of reasons, not the least of which is how many people actually live there. Given how many people live in a square block, you would think that the sidewalks would be crowded all the time. And keep in mind, a square block in Beijing is not like a square block in Manhattan or in the United States. Each block is probably the length of four or five blocks. So their square blocks are humongous, humongous. It would probably, I didn't even try walking around a whole block, but it would probably take close to 20 to 30 minutes just to walk around the block. That's how massive things are. So that was some of the indications of changes. There was also another really, really important change related to this that I want to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break. So please stay with me. I apologize for the technical problems we had earlier, but stay with me. When we come back, I'm going to give you some more reflections about the city itself, and then I'm going to talk about some of the people I met. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. It's just me and you today, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. This hour, I'm speaking about my recent trip to Beijing after 15 years and some of the reflection and changes that I've seen. And I was talking about, you know, how big it is there. And this was one of the also biggest contrasts to the last time I was there 15 years ago. Was when I was there 15 years ago, there was tons of construction going on. It was just everywhere. There were dozens of giant cranes and building these huge clusters of buildings. And because of that, the pollution was really awful. It was really horrible. But this time, there was still some construction going on, but very little, a fraction, a tiny fraction of what it was 15 years ago. And the pollution was so much better. Less cars on the road, which I found out that they restrict during the week who can drive by the last two digits of your license plate number. So every day, Monday through Friday, there are two digits that aren't allowed to drive. So they effectively eliminate a fifth of the cars. But much less traffic. I mean, still traffic. Don't get me wrong. It's a huge city. There's still traffic, but much more manageable than it was 15 years ago. And I noticed a lot of electric cars, not just Teslas. There were plenty of Teslas, but there was a lot of the Chinese car manufacturers. BYD is another big one. I think I saw maybe four or five. I can't remember all the names, but I think I saw four or five different Chinese electric car makes and models. So it really was interesting to see the changeover. The one thing I will say is definitely more electric cars than I see here in the States. I mean, when I was in the West Coast, when I was in California, I see more electric cars there than here in New York. But even compared to California, that China had a lot more electric cars. I'm not sure if it's because of incentives or why, but definitely more electric cars. You know, it all makes a difference. And it all made for seeing Beijing as really a much more modern city and very built up now. And the reason why I was so surprised about there being so few people on the streets, because anywhere you look, there's not just one giant 20-story building that's, you know, massively wide, but there's seven of them. There's 12 of them. There's six of them. They build these giant buildings. I mean, here in New York, you used to like one big building going up at the time. There, because they have so much space and room, you know, like a dozen went up at one time. So that's why back then there was so much pollution from all the construction. Now they're all up. It's all there. There's still some smaller buildings around, but very few. Overall, as a percentage of the housing in Beijing, most of it is modern housing now. There's still some old. We actually went back to my wife's old neighborhood where she grew up, and the building she grew up in is still there. Right across the street was this huge complex of this brand new building. Like the construction came all the way up and then stopped the block before. But her old building now was like a slum. It was dirty. It was, you know, not well kept. So physically, the city was different. But not just physically, psychologically, the city was different. And my wife made this comment that I found really interesting. She said she was really surprised at how nice people were. That, you know, when you're in a restaurant or in a store, people were more helpful than when she grew up. I mean, she grew up, you know, China was extremely communist. I mean, it's still a communist country, but now it's more about business. And she was surprised at how people who served you were much nicer about it. They talked to you. They didn't give you attitude. And I asked her why she thought that was. And she said something very interesting. And she was like, well, you know, when I was growing up, it was a poor country. People didn't have much money. They didn't have much. But now you look around, like, people have a decent life there. People have a good life. People are just trying to live their life. They're like anyone else. And now that they feel safe, they feel secure, they have enough food, they have, you know, good apartment. They don't need to be like trying to get every little thing because there was so little. And so because the wealth of the country increased, people felt better and they weren't struggling to survive. So they actually could afford to be nice to each other. So I thought that was an interesting observation. And we also had an interesting experience. The first couple of days we were there, we got together with two of her close girlfriends in Beijing. Girls she had known from school and from her first job there. So these two women she has known for a lot longer than she's known me, but for like the majority of her life. And although they were talking Chinese to each other, and I can sometimes tell a little bit of what they're talking about. A lot of it I didn't understand, but there was this feeling watching the three of them interact, seeing, you know, the expression, the emotion, their voice. You could tell there's this special bond there. There is this bond of friendship that was something that was built over a lifetime, that even if they hadn't seen each other for years, they could still come together and be as close as they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it kind of struck me because I literally have nobody in my life today other than my family, who I knew 40 years ago. You know, I mean, not that, you know, everyone I know has passed away or anything, of course not, but I'm just not in touch. I mean, my friends from high school have all scattered to the four corners of the world. The friends I had in college are off doing other things. Some people have passed. But I don't have that depth of relationship with anyone in my life today that I can say, like, we have this relationship that lasted, you know, decades. And that when you have people who've been in your life for so long, there's this energy, this spirit, this connection between you that goes beyond just regular friendship. And so when I was sitting there observing this with her friends, I was very touched. I could feel the specialness of this connection. And if I'm honest, it did bring up a little bit of sadness because it's something I don't have in my life. And, you know, when I think about people I know today, I know some of them have it in their life, and I know a lot of them don't have it in their lives. And so when you see that connection, that's a lifetime in the making, it's something really beautiful to behold. And I guess I just hadn't seen an example of that so clearly in such a long time that it really spoke to me, that it really touched me in a way I wasn't expecting. And I had some other interesting experiences. We actually had some friends. We have a very close friend who used to live in our building here in New York, who went back to take care of her parents as they're getting older and they're a little unwell. So a close friend who was there, and we got together with her and her boyfriend, and they took me around to a temple that was outside of Beijing and a park outside. And it was nice to spend the day with them. Not the first time spending time with them, not in New York. And they were very gracious and driving me all over the place and taking me out to dinner. And it was really a very nice day. And I really enjoyed spending that time with them. But it was just so interesting to be able to spend time with them in their environment instead of in my environment, which is I'd only ever, you know, seen them in here in New York. And really an interesting thing I felt going to the Buddhist temples there. And there are a lot of Buddhist temples in and around Beijing. But I went to this one Buddhist temple that was a very old temple, older than Beijing itself. And there were these two giant ginkgo trees that were over 1,400 years old. And there were other trees that were 1,300, 1,100, 600 years old, giant trees. And I just, you know, kept thinking to myself, wow, like how many generations of people have passed away, have lived during the time of this one tree, during this time that this one tree, and it's still alive and still growing. It's a much different scale. And even though I'm not technically a Buddhist, you know, I consider myself eclectic when it comes to my beliefs. There was an energy to the temples, even though it was super hot and humid when I was there. And all the people coming and praying to them. And I think it's true for almost any religious structure that people hold in reverence. There was a certain energy to it, especially considering how old this place was, that you could just feel. And I did say my prayers to Buddha and Guanyin. And who knows, maybe that's why it was such a good trip. You know, it was different. It was definitely different for me. All right, time for me to take my last break. I want to end up talking about a chance meeting to someone I'd never met before, but someone had introduced us to him, and the really fascinating conversation that I want to relate that also talks to what's happening to the spirit of the people in Beijing. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. This episode is entitled Under the Shadow of Dragons, because dragons are all over China. And we'll be right back to finish it up in just a moment.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to Serving Up Success with a Splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving Up Success with a Splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So, one of the interesting things was that the show I pre-recorded before I left for Beijing, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Ralph White, one of the co-founders of the Open Center and founder of the new center that he started. I mentioned to him that I'm going to Beijing, and he was like, you know what? I know somebody in Beijing. I'm sure he would love to meet with you. I'm like, wonderful. Connect me to him. I'll meet with him. And so towards the end of the trip, I had a chance to meet up with this gentleman. His name's Yang. And it turns out that he's a meditation and mindfulness teacher. And I'm like, wow, I never met anybody who was a meditation and mindfulness teacher here in China. So I guess it made sense. And I asked him, you know, what kind of people are attracted to meditation and mindfulness here in China? And he said how he works a lot with high-tech companies in China. And he said that what he found is that a lot of these corporate executives who had experienced so much growth over the last 15 years, that now the economy has slowed. A lot of people in China talked about how the economy had slowed down. It wasn't growing the way it was. It's much more kind of stable and where it is. And he said now they've built up this company. They're making all this money. It's not growing anymore. And they're all kind of looking at life and going, is this all there is? And that they really are looking for more meaning in their life. And I thought, isn't that fascinating? That even in a country like China, that people are looking for more meaning. They're looking for something more now that they've achieved all the physical desires, they're well off, they have money, they're well taken care of. They're looking for something more. And to me, that's an awakening of consciousness. And that's really what the average person is looking for. And to me, that really shows that once we've achieved a certain level of security, of accomplishment, of wealth, that it's never satisfying enough, that it's never enough. And that's when we look to a spirit. That's when we look for something deeper in our lives. That's when there's room for the soul to wake up, because we're no longer in fight or flight mode. We're no longer struggling just for our existence. When we no longer have to struggle, we turn towards spirit. And the fact that that is happening in China, in one of the most pragmatic, grounded cultures that I know, to me, gives me a little bit, just a little bit of hope for the future of humanity. Because if there can be a flowering of consciousness there, it can happen anywhere. It's been going on in the United States for decades because we've been one of the wealthiest countries in the world for decades, not always for the greatest of reasons. But to me, it really shows that given the opportunity, people will evolve. And if there's anything that we need more than anything else today, It's a flowering of consciousness. It's an evolution of humanity. And my hope and my prayer is that that evolution of consciousness spreads across the entire planet. Because in these times of these very turbulent, chaotic times, that's what we need more than anything else. That's what's going to move the world into a more positive direction. And lastly, one last person I met on my trip to Beijing, I found fascinating. Literally the night before I was leaving to come back, we went to this little dumpling restaurant in the neighborhood in which we were staying. And there was this American sitting there eating. And I just nodded to him and he nodded back. And then he said hi and we started chatting and he had to do a little phone call and we ate dinner. And then he came over and we talked afterwards. And it was fascinating to meet this gentleman who has been in Taiwan, Taipei, Shenzhen, and Beijing for the last 12 years, I believe he said. And he was basically teaching English and teaching kids how to speak, how to do public speaking and how to speak English. And it was just fascinating having this conversation with him. And how much he loves the Asian culture and he loves being there in Asia, even though he's from St. Louis, Missouri originally. And it was just wonderful to, like, in such an unexpected way, to meet someone like this and have a conversation and get his perspective on different things in Beijing and in Asia and China. And hear about his challenges and what worked well and what wasn't working well. And it really showed me how anything is possible these days. And yeah, it helps a lot if you have the means to travel. It helps a lot if you have the resources. But these days, all you really need is a desire, a willingness to work at it. And you can create an incredible life for yourself. There are always choices to be made, right? There's always give and take. But there are always, always, always possibilities. So people ask me all the time, you know, how was my trip to China? And of course, the most important part of it was seeing my wife's sister, who's undergone 30 chemotherapy treatments for cancer and is still undergoing it. And, you know, I was really expecting her to be this thin shell of a woman, but she actually looked pretty good, but she was tired all the time. And because, you know, I'm an American, I'm not a relative coming. I mean, I'm an in-law, but she felt obligated, like she had to do something for me. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do anything, but that's the culture. So it was good to see her. And it was good to see that she was doing well, but she has a pretty aggressive cancer and she's still undergoing chemotherapy after 2 years. So who knows what the future may hold for her. So it was a very interesting experience being in Beijing after 15 years. It was interesting to see the contrast, the difference, to be more like a local riding the Beijing subway, which I really liked. What's really nice, if you ever go to Beijing, the subway, all the stops are both in English and Chinese. The subway announcements are in English and Chinese. Very easy for an American to get around on the subway system in Beijing. And it's huge. They've got so many lines now. It's amazing. And yeah, you know, traveling to other countries, traveling to other places and really getting to meet people and talk to people and see what's going on, you really learn to appreciate how, even though there are differences, we're all the same underneath. And even though we may have different things we believe in and different customs and a different culture that we grew up in, that deep down inside, in our very heart of hearts, we're all the same. We're all the same. Most people just want to have a good life, just want to know that they're always going to have food on the table, a roof over their head, you know, some clothing to wear. That when we can get past the struggle, that then we look for something deeper, something more meaningful. And so that's why, you know, I look to share this flowering of consciousness with the world. That's why I'm the conscious consultant. That's why I do this show. And I hope I can just reach more people's lives and touch your life. So that's my show. I hope you enjoyed my reflections and my musings over Beijing and my trip. We'll have a guest back next week. Again, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on all your favorite podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends and family. Don't forget, later today, we have a whole block of shows coming up tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern, Frank About Health, 6 p.m. Serving Up Success with a Splash, 7 p.m. our newest show, Making Seamless Sales. And our newest show, I hope you caught it yesterday. I was interviewing Jacinta Yang for her show Beneath the Calm, her premiere episode. She's going to be doing her show every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you got something from this rambling. And we will talk to you all next week.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.